This is an ABC podcast.
The City coaching staff are saying that's time, Michael Oliver. Blow your whistle, Michael Oliver. The whistle is in his mouth, and City have won the Premier League!
That is Manchester City's most recent Premier League title, won in 2022. It's their eighth in total. Six of those have been won since the Abu Dhabi-based City Group acquired the club in 2008. This week, the club has been charged with over 100 alleged breaches of Premier League finance rules from 2009 through to the end of the 2017-18 season, which, if proven, in the worst case, could see them expelled from the competition. In a statement, the club says they're surprised by the alleged breaches, but welcome the review. We've seen financial breaches in the competition before, resulting in a slap on the wrist for clubs, but are Man City rolling out the welcome mat for what could be significant penalties? I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Daniel Garb does and knows all things football for ABC Sport, and he's going to break this whole thing down for us. Garby, firstly, before we get into, I guess, the nuances of all of this, what on earth has happened here? This investigation into Manchester City's financial conduct started way back in 2018. What have they been looking at and what have they found?
Thank you, Poppy. Look, I did a bit of commerce at university, but I'm no economics guru. That being said, I will try and break this down in the simplest way possible. Basically, there is a rule in world football that is in place in the Premier League as well called financial fair play. And what that demands of clubs is that the money that you spend is balanced percentage-wise against the money you bring in through sponsorship, ticketing, merchandise, all those revenue arms at football clubs. The reason why this exists is to try and prevent wealthy owners coming in, splurging a whole lot of money and then leaving when they feel like it and the club falls apart because they can't afford to pay the wages and so on and so forth and they have to sell all these players, which is exactly what happened to Leeds United in the early 2000s, around 20 years ago when some of our Aussie players were involved, as many might remember. So that is the theory behind it all. It is alleged, of course, that Manchester City have breached more than 100 rules relating to all of that when it comes to the provision of financial information for financial fair play and to the Premier League. One of the allegations that came out of a report which launched this investigation basically 4 years ago is that they were falsifying, if you like, sponsorship revenue. For example, an Etihad sponsorship deal. Their stadium is called the Etihad Stadium. They're the major sponsors of the club. It's been alleged that that wasn't a legitimate sponsorship deal. And in fact, that was just designed to pump money into the club from their uber wealthy owners, of course, in the Middle East. That's the allegation. And so things like that are basically a means of financial doping and are a breach of financial fair play rules as they are meant to be. So I hope that makes it sound as simple as possible for people who don't understand it as of yet. But there are more than 100 breaches stemming back to 2009, between the 2009 season and then the 2017 season as well. They are severe in the way in which they've been laid out from the Premier League. And this is something that I think certainly has the feeling of something more severe than perhaps has incurred in the past.
As you allude to, some of those previous, I guess, sanctions for similar allegations and similar charges have been sort of more on the slap of the wrist side of punishment. This isn't the first time Man City themselves have been involved in something like this.
Manchester City have been banned from the Champions League for the next two seasons for breaking financial fair play rules. Europe's football governing body, UEFA, have also fined the club £25 million.
What precedent has been set previously when it comes to financial breaches and the punishment associated with that?
Manchester City's alleged to have been doing this for a long period of time, as these breaches that have now come out in far more detail certainly prove. They were banned from the Champions League in 2020 for 2 years for breaching financial fair play. They successfully appealed that to the Court of Arbitration for Sport and had that overturned.
So the big breaking news is that Manchester City's two-season European ban has been lifted.
So, of course, we are incredibly happy because we can again defend what we have done on the pitch.
The Premier League has said that there is no Court of Arbitration for Sport appeal allowed this time around. So that tells you that there could be something more significant in the wings. Chelsea had a transfer window ban for similar breaches a couple of seasons ago. Barcelona have had it as well for financial fair play breaches relating to the Spanish league. They were banned from transfer windows. But that is basically slap of the wrist stuff for clubs who have such exorbitant spending power. Fines, transfer window ban for one or two periods can hold a team back, but they can make up that ground pretty quickly because they can go and sign five players the first time they're allowed back in the transfer window. You do have the feeling this time around, considering the detailed nature of the breaches that have been released through the press, that there's a different feeling about this.
Man City have been a hugely successful club in this period, particularly in the period that we're looking at for these breaches. As you say, they're kind of laying the groundwork for potentially this being a more severe punishment. What are we looking at? What are they talking about? What has Man City sort of got to steel themselves for?
That's the key question here. I'd be surprised if it was just a fine. I think everyone would be. You know, we have grown used to the slap on the wrist punishments for these sorts of things. But when it came out last night, the majority of people looked at it and went, this looks a little bit different to normal. There's a different feeling about this. Why would they have released it to the press in such detail? It feels like they are trying to ready the football public and Manchester City for a more significant penalty this time around. Now, what would that penalty be? As I said, a level up from a hefty fine, and no fine, let me tell you, would be significant enough. You could fine them £150 million. They spend that on a player, on one single player. It's not even half their wage bill in a year, just about. So, no, that would not cut it if they are found guilty of all of this. A transfer window ban would be the next level up. I think if they got that for one or two windows, people would go, okay, but does it really make a difference? Probably not. Up from that, you're looking at points deductions. How severe, though? When does that point deduction come in? Is it a suspended point deduction? There are a lot of variables at play. After that, you're looking at titles potentially being stripped, which would be a massive call. I don't think anyone can see that realistically happening, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility as it stands right now. And then a level up from that is potentially relegation, moving down the leagues. Now, this has happened before in different leagues. Juventus were infamously moved down from Serie A for a number of seasons in Italy. Rangers, the same in Scotland, had to go all the way back and work their way back up for breaching rules. Again, can't see that happening, but not beyond the realms of possibility. So I would say a transfer window ban or a suspended points deduction are the most likely penalties here. But who knows? It could be more severe, and that would be something that would be a massive story the world over.
As you touched on, in 2020, they had the ban from the Champions League and managed to overturn it in the Court of Arbitration for Sport. That decision was heavily criticised by many people, including the likes of Jose Mourinho.
In relation to the decision, I think in any case, is a disgraceful decision, because if Man City is not guilty of it, I think to be punished is a disgrace as a decision. By the other way, if they are guilty, you should be banned.
How would you suspect the footballing world would react if they were given another relatively light penalty?
Well, I think the football world, unfortunately, I mean, look, people do admire the way in which Manchester City play their football. They are an outstanding football side. And there are others. They're not on their own when it comes to spending like this. Chelsea have done it for a number of years. Manchester United's spending power is out of control. But, you know, a club like Manchester United, they are viewed as doing it more organically, building from the bottom through the 90s to become the superpower, and then their revenue, more of it comes through natural means, sponsorship and so on and so forth. The same with a club like Liverpool and Arsenal, and that doesn't mean that they don't have a massive advantage as it stands. Of course they do. Without wanting to get into too much detail here, a lot of people say financial fair play was brought in to protect those big clubs, because how else are the other clubs meant to catch up to them unless they have some crazily wealthy benefactor ready to pump money in, and then you're breaching rules. I get that argument as well completely. But there's no doubt, as beautiful as Manchester City have played their football, and as shrewdly as they've acquired their players and their managers and built an excellent culture, they've had an enormous advantage. Money doesn't guarantee success. Chelsea have pumped in plenty and been on a roller coaster. Manchester United over the past 5 to 10 years have spent more money than any club, and they've got nowhere near a title, to be honest, since Sir Alex Ferguson left. So it's not all about money. That being said, people have certainly noted, and accurately so, that Manchester City have had a massive advantage over the last decade over other teams in England. There's a reason why they've gone from being a middle-of-the-road club to winning six Premier League titles in that time. It's no surprise. But they have managed to build a nice culture and buy the right players and bring in the right managers. But it's easy to do that when you have a lot of money at your disposal. To go back to your question, how would people look at it if it's another slap on the wrist? They'll say it's just another win for the super wealthy clubs who can spend as much as they want, not only on players and managers, but on lawyers as well, to fight any breach or penalty that is thrown their way. That is certainly something that would be the results if they are to be given another light penalty.
What happens from here, Gabi? Do we have an idea of when we might hear from the Independent Commission about this? Do we know when these penalties could be handed down?
We don't. I'd imagine this could take a reasonable period of time to come to a decision. And while they can't appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, they can certainly, Manchester City, get bogged down in a quagmire of negotiations with the Premier League before any penalty is given as well. So we don't have any idea. A lot of people will be saying, well, hang on, Arsenal fans in particular, we've got a title to try and win. If you're going to deduct points from Manchester City, can you let us know before the end of the season so we can get ready to win the title, even though Arsenal are in the box seat right now? There are Champions League rivals that will say, well, hang on, you've got to announce this before the end of the Champions League campaign. If you do so afterwards, that's not really fair. But I'm sure they'll try and go through a process. It's very complicated. It's very detailed. There are a number of years and breaches involved in all of this. So none of us know. But it does have the feeling that it's more severe than reports of this nature in the past.
It feels like there is still a lot to play out here. Daniel Garb, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Poppy.
Headlines. Former Australian footballer Barry Cable is being sued over allegations of sexual assault during his playing days. His identity had previously been suppressed, but ahead of the 5-day trial has since been released. He's denied the allegations and has never been charged. The trial is set to begin on Wednesday. Australian T20 captain Aaron Finch has today announced his retirement from international cricket.
It's been a pretty amazing ride, and I don't think it's until you finish up that you sit back and you reflect on it and you realise some of the friendships that you've made and some of the experiences that you've had over 12 years playing for Australia. It's pretty amazing.
Finch played 103 T20 games for Australia and was captain for 76 of them. He holds the record T20 international score at 172 off 76 balls against Zimbabwe and will retire with two World Cups to his name. The Aussies are yet to announce his replacement. And staying with cricket, the Aussie women's T20 side have completed the first of two warm-up matches ahead of their T20 World Cup defence. They battled against India with the bat, managing only 8 for 129 from their 20 overs, but were more successful with the ball, bowling their opponents out for just 85. Perhaps the best news to come out of that match is that Alyssa Healy made her comeback from a calf injury. She kept wickets, but she didn't bat, so fingers crossed that she's fit and firing for the T20 World Cup, Australia's first game against New Zealand on Sunday. I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Kyle Hopkins. To stay across this story and everything else you need to know in the sporting world, head to abc.net.au/sport. Thanks to Sky News UK, Manchester City and ESPN UK for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.